BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Waller Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you.
As always, by PWMania.com, MMLanePromo.com. I am, of course, Sir Rockin, joined, as always, by Lindsay Ward.
So I guess with Ted and now Cody, there's no potential for a legacy reunion?
Well, not in WWE. It could be happening somewhere else. You never, never know.
This is true. You never know.
A lot of things went down tonight that it did involve one Cody Rhodes, and that did involve the new corporation. So, we shall start at the beginning, and Raw opened with the King of Kings, Triple H, in the ring. He introduced Randy Orton. Orton began saying that he is the face, that being the face of WWE, he has to protect this company. And protecting this company is his number one priority. So if you disrespect him, you disrespect all of WWE. And then you need to be dealt with. Daniel Bryan, they talk about what happened last week and how Daniel Bryan defaced his personal property doing the yes to the Escalade last week that Triple H gave him. So he had no choice to return the favor and deface Daniel Bryan on SmackDown, where he put the N-O on the chest of Daniel Bryan. When we came back from that video package, Randy Orton wanted to play a yes-no game with the crowd.
So now, everybody, I'd like to take a page out of Daniel Bryan's book, and I'd like to play a game with you. A question and answer game. An audience participation game that you all love very much. So here it goes. Should Daniel Bryan face me at Night of Champions for the WWE title? No! Does Daniel Bryan even have the slightest chance in hell of defeating me at Night of Champions? No. Should Daniel Bryan give up his opportunity to face me at Night of Champions for the WWE title? Yes!
You know, Randy, as COO of the WWE, I have a few different responsibilities. One of my biggest responsibilities is ensuring that the WWE puts out the best product each and every week. After all, it's what all of you deserve. You deserve to have the best. After all, the WWE Universe has the most passionate and intense fans in the world. And you deserve the best. My other job is to ensure the health and well-being of all WWE superstars and divas. And lately, in the last few weeks, I've been beginning to worry about the health and welfare of one Daniel Bryan. You see, Daniel's ego keeps getting him into situations like you saw a few moments ago. And that's a problem. And the thing is, all of you are not helping. Because what happens, I look around here as I did a few minutes ago, and I see all of you standing up, throwing your arms up in the air and chanting, yes, yes, yes. And that is a problem because you are causing Daniel Bryan to confuse popularity with what is best for business. And popularity has nothing to do with what is best for business. I'm going to give you an example of that. Quite a few years ago, there was a WWE superstar named Doink the Clown. Now, Doink the Clown was insanely popular, wildly popular. People loved Doink the Clown. You love Doink the Clown, right? They loved him. But there's a very big reason why Doink the Clown was never WWE champion. It's because it would have been bad for business. Now, here's the thing. Daniel Bryan will never be WWE champion. That's okay. I'm not saying he can't reach for that brass ring. I'm not saying he can't have a goal. I can bring back the cruiserweight title or like the European title. He could compete for any one of those at any time.
Wow, you guys made a lot of really, really good points, and I am thrilled to be compared to Doink the Clown. But I'm not sure there was ever a loud Doink the Clown chant in 1992. And quite honestly, the only clowns I see are the two standing in the ring right now. And I understand you want me to give up my championship match. And Hunter, with you, that's completely understandable. The same way that you gave up being a man when you cut your hair, put on that suit, and decided to be a corporate sellout. And Randy, I understand why you'd want me to give up in the same way that you just completely gave up being in the WWE title picture until somebody just decided to hand it to you. So let me see. Should I give up my WWE Championship match against Randy Orton at Night of Champions? I think the answer to that question is the same as the answer to the question, is Randy Orton more masculine than Stephanie McMahon? No! 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 No!
How many times you gotta get punched in the face, triple power bombed or RKO before you realize, Daniel Bryan, that there's not a chance in hell that you can win this fight?
See, Randy, this is the part that you don't understand, because nobody's ever told you that you can't do something. Okay? I have been told my entire career the things I can't do. I was told I can't do any better than wrestling in high school gyms and flea markets. I was told I can't get to the WWE. And when I got here, I was told I couldn't be a top guy because all I was a good little hand. I was told I would never be world champion. And you know what? All those things that they told me I couldn't do, all those things made me the man I am today and made me know I can do things. I loved the fight. I loved scraping and crawling and every horrible thing I had to do to get here. I loved all of it, and you will never understand it because you were given everything. So do I think that I can beat you for the WWE Championship? No. I know I can beat you for the WWE Championship. And Randy, deep down, you know it too. And so do you, Hunter. Otherwise, you wouldn't put me in gauntlet matches. You wouldn't have three men beat me down. You would just let me and Randy wrestle one on one. But you guys know what everybody else here knows, and that's this. Randy Orton may have the genetics of a champion, but Randy, you don't have the heart of a champion.
So that's where that cuts off before we get to what happened after that point. Thoughts?
Holy crap, this was fantastic.
The Doink the Clown reference, really good. I like that they chose Doink rather than, you know, a popular guy. It made sense. I like that. I don't know if it was in that clip or not. I like that Hunter brought up, you know, Daniel Bryan should set his goal to, like, the Cruiserweight or the European title that he'll bring back. That popped the Twitter.
That totally popped Twitter. Shane McMahon is going to have to defend his European title. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Ooh, Shane McMahon versus Daniel Bryan. That'd be good.
That would be good.
Hornswoggle versus Daniel Bryan, not so much. But Shane McMahon versus Daniel Bryan, that would be good. Yeah, this was a fantastic segment between Orton and Bryan, basically. Bryan was really good.
You have Bryan walking out there week after week after week, cutting these absolutely amazing promos and holding his own with the likes of Triple H and Orton verbally, which is what you want.
All right.
And I loved when he said, where basically he made himself the ultimate underdog by saying, all I've ever heard is no, and that's never stopped me.
Right. That was perfect.
It never stopped me before, and it's not going to stop me now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he took a shot how Stephanie McMahon is more masculine than Randy Orton. That's great.
That was fantastic. He got a golf clap for that. Well played, Daniel.
Well played. What that clip did not have was Hunter interrupting Daniel Bryan, calling him a short, angry, and a troll. Hunter said Bryan shouldn't be angry at them, but he should be angry at someone else. And that one man is a 7-foot-tall, 500-pound giant who has an ironclad contract and only just stands by with a single tear running down his cheek. As Daniel Bryan gets beat week in and week out. Hunter said he's going to let Bryan take out all his anger tonight because in tonight's main event it will be Daniel Bryan one-on-one with the Big Show. I like how he threw in the line about the ironclad contract.
Yeah, the one that everybody's been pointing out he has, and then it's like, oh wait, well, that can go out the window. Hunter has to do is snap his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one thing that they did a really wonderful job with tonight, and we'll get into more of it as the show progresses, but they did a really wonderful job of setting Hunter and Steph up as really these ultimate dictators, the ultimate heels. And it, I asked, and well, we'll get into it later, but I asked Rock a very specific question that we may have to get into Thursday night.
We'll get there. Backstage, Hunter and Wonderman are walking around, laughing at what happened. Hunter's Big Show is probably off in a corner crying somewhere. They were stopped when Cody Rhodes walked by, and Cody Rhodes continued, just looked at him, shook hands with Hunter, then a little bit of small talk, and to Rhodes trying to cut the issue at hand, which is Orton should want to defend the WWE title against Daniel Bryan, because it's what's best for business, after all. And Hunter said he decides what's best for business, and Hunter continued that Cody's judgment is probably clouded since he's planning a wedding, right? Right? Cody Rhodes, the character, is actually getting married soon, where the real person is, and now they bring it up on TV. Orton and Hunter know that they didn't get invitations, but they did get Cody a little gift, and that's a match with Randy Orton. Cody said that it's a great opportunity, to which Hunter then, you know, said, well, if you don't win, well, then maybe you won't be around much longer. So Cody Rhodes' job is now on the line against Randy Orton later in the show. That one came out of left field.
And this is the moment where all the Cody Rhodes fangirls died.
Now, yeah. And now it makes sense why he shaved his mustache. He's getting
totally
married.
Totally makes sense. The pieces are coming together.
He's getting married. His wife hated it, so, well, marriage time. It's gone. Up next, though, is The Miz versus Fandango, and apparently during the break that we didn't see, if you only have the app, yes, on the app, Fandango broke his nose, thanks to The Miz. Good job, Miz.
Well done, Miz.
Yes, and yes, Matt Goldberg, there is new figure news that we'll get to in 2 weeks on the rack. Miz won via submission. The match was fine.
It was a fine match.
Match was fine. Nothing to write home about. Yeah, and then I turned it into a shill, Matt. Turned it into a shill. See what I did? Anyway, Miz wins via the figure four. Fandango has a broken nose. Daniel Bryan's backstage, warming up for his main event 2.5 hours early. Booker T, who kind of really doesn't have any sort of role, but walks in and said he needs to talk to Bryan. Bryan blew him off initially, but Booker said it's serious. He told Bryan that raging against McMahon's is not in his best interest. He said Bryan can have a great career in WWE and make a ton of money. And then, you know, basically said he should look out for his well-being and give up the title shot. And to which Daniel Bryan replied, tell me you didn't just say that. He said it isn't about the money or the title, but his own life. Booker told Bryan that he could get injured to the point of ending his career. Ramifications go beyond this arena. Booker said he's behind Bryan, but Bryan, you know, really just looked at Booker, shook his head, and walked off.
Again, it's Bryan being set up as the ultimate underdog, which is fantastic, even with everybody telling him, don't do it, just, you know, give it up, you're not going to win, you're only going to cause yourself more harm. It's Bryan's like, that's not what this is about. Mm-hmm. It's not about money, it's not about fame. At this stage, it's not even about the title. It's about taking down the corporation for Bryan.
Right. Back live, Dolph Ziggler is on his way to the ring, and we're told that was on the app that, well, he's going to be facing a mystery opponent. So we come back from the commercial break, and, well, Ziggler's in the ring and then gets attacked by Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, it's a random Dean Ambrose out of nowhere.
Ambrose just beat up Ziggler and threw him into the corner. He's hanging, you know, out the corner by the ring post. And then Ambrose whispered in his ears, respect the business. So we're all thinking, oh, it's time for Ziggler versus Ambrose. No.
He didn't whisper it in Ziggler's ear. He yelled it in Ziggler's face.
Okay, he yelled it in his face. So we're expecting Ziggler versus Ambrose, but it was not to be. Instead, out came the Ryback.
In which Dean disappeared, and I started yelling, no, Dean, come back. Please come back. Don't leave me. Please come back.
So Ryback beat on Ziggler for a while. Ziggler came back, made some comebacks. But in the end, the shell shock did end Dolph Ziggler. Ryback wins.
To which the crowd went, meh.
But on the plus side, we now know where we're headed with Ziggler and Ambrose.
We do. And by the way, we almost had a very non-PG moment in that match.
Did we?
Where's... Ryback grabs Ziggler by his trunks and picks him up by his trunks.
Oh, hey, we almost saw his thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you notice that Ryback had a different type of outfit on tonight?
Yeah, gee, the airbrush trunks are gone, or the airbrush singlet is gone because, well, somebody has the monopoly on that.
So, Ryback wins. We go backstage. Stephanie McMahon was talking to Triple H. Brad Maddox walked in and said, "There's a stipulation with there's a situation Big Show. He doesn't want to fight Daniel Bryan tonight." Hunter was about to take care of it, but Stephanie said, "She'll handle this." But you know, and then Maddox was telling where the locker room is. But that's not how she does things. She's going to not do it in private, but rather in public, because that's how she rolls.
Yo.
That's how she rolls, you know. So we come back. Stephanie McMahon's coming to the ring. She comes out saying she would like to welcome out to someone who has helped her a lot, teached her a lot of life lessons along the way growing up in this business. She calls out her friend, her giant, the Big Show. Stephanie says she heard that the show doesn't want to face Daniel Bryan tonight. So, you know, she would like to explain to show what the price is for not doing what she wants him to do. Stephanie says a 12-year-old girl who show helped out back in the day. Stephanie said that they know that show is basically flat out broke and has, well, made some good, you know, some sort of investments, and this is where the audio picks up from here.
Big Show, you know that you are broke. Flat out broke. You've made some bad investments. You've given money to friends and family. The strip mall went belly up. Wall Street, completely bad. You have nothing right now. And there's public records on that show. Listen, I need to talk to you. This is very important. Your ironclad contract, you know as well as I do that if you don't perform your duties, then you're in breach. You don't see a dime. So you have to listen to this. I mean, in longevity-wise, how much longer do you have a career here at WWE? How much longer can your body keep this up? You know, and what are your other alternatives? You know, there aren't many 7 foot, 500 pound leading men in Hollywood. You know, what are you going to be, the world's largest gas station attendant? It's a fact. It's the truth. I'm willing to tell you the truth as much as it pains me, show. And show, I'm just trying to put this in perspective for you because of your family. Think about what you're giving up. You're giving all of this up just because you won't compete in a match. One match. And show, I'm going to have to go there. Your biggest fear. Giants medically don't live as long as other people. This is about your family. It's about your family show, and that's why you're going to make the right decision. And you will perform your duties, and you will face Daniel Bryan here tonight.
Big Show being utterly embarrassed.
And Show, I'm sorry that you're hurting. But the only person that's hurting more than you right now is me.
This was fantastic. You have, and like I said before, you have basically, they're doing the good cop, bad cop again that they were doing to Brad Maddox initially before they really seized power, where it's you have Stephanie trying to play the good cop, trying to be the good person, trying to help her quote-unquote friend by using his own personal information, his own dirty laundry, to manipulate him into doing what she wants him to do. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, saying, you have no choice. Right. And by publicly embarrassing him, that really forces him into making that choice, as opposed to walking away.
Right.
I mean, this was... this. Again, this was fantastic. It's very well done. And, you know, some people are saying in the chat room, you know, line crossed, especially when she brought up the fact that giants don't live as long as regular people. I think it was LeMans that said that, you know, the PG line was crossed. Mm-hmm. And I can see his side of it, but at the same time, it's, as Mace may have pointed out, it's a fact. You know, like it or hate it, it's a statement of fact. And to add that was just that nice little touch.
It was more, man, it wasn't trying to cross a line. It was trying to draw emotion out of you. And it drew emotion out of you because you didn't like it. And it was trying to draw emotion out of fans and Big Show as well. So it served its purpose. I see why it would cross the line for some people. But then again, my line is farther than others.
Yeah, it's more... yeah, I'm kind of with you. My line is... it takes a while to cross my line. And it just... I think it more showed her ability to really manipulate him and manipulate everybody. Where it's... I'm your friend. I'm trying to help you. I know you're broke. I know you have nothing. I also know that your lifespan is not going to be as long as, say, the normal person's. So you know, basically you need to take care of your family now as opposed to leaving them in the lurch later.
Right.
And that's, I think, the point that she was trying to make.
Right. So more good storytelling by Stephanie and Big Show right there. So I'm sitting here, Lindsay, right? And I'm just,
right,
you know, on Twitter, tweeting away during the show, and then, you know, it's commercial, so just sitting here, and then all of a sudden...
You think you know me?
Damn, I missed that.
For one night only, WWE Hall of Famer Edge is back on Raw. Raw, live next Monday, 8, 7 Central, only on USA.
Is it wrong? My first thought was, ah, Haven must be coming back.
Haven is coming back. But
that was, like, seriously my first thought. It's like, oh, Haven must be coming back on the air. That's the only way he shows up on Monday Night Raw these days.
And he doesn't even show up on Raw for Haven. He usually shows up for Haven on SmackDown.
Yeah, the last time he did it, he hugged Kane.
Mm-hmm. But they are in Toronto next Monday night for Raw.
Hmm.
Makes sense. And it is the start of Monday Night Football next Monday. I wonder where my attention will be. Not saying anything. Let's go Eagles. So Big Show.
I'm sure the Eagles will do better than the Cowboys.
Here's to hoping. Because, well, anyway, Big Show is shown on the app destroying things and being upset backstage. We then have Heath Slater and Jinder Mahal take on the prime time players. This match went on longer than I thought they would give the three-man band.
They needed filler?
I suppose the primetime players win. Most likely they're the next ones to get a shot at the tag team titles. It seems to be heading in that direction.
Yeah, eventually. But not right away.
Backstage, Brad Maddox is talking on his phone. Paul Heyman then walked in and told Brad to call the person who he was talking to back. Heyman got right in Brad's face and he's not doing too well today because of Brad Maddox. Brad said he doesn't understand. And Heyman said that Brad had put his fate in the hands of the WWE Universe last week, which is not a good thing. Now he puts him in a situation at Champions where it's practically guaranteed that Punk will get his hands on him. Heyman asked Brad if that's what's best for business. And, you know, when you say best for business, in comes Triple H. Hunter said, that's my cue. He said he approved the match at Night of Champions. Heyman, you know, was about to say something, calm down a little bit, and then inquired why Hunter did that. Hunter said he might think it's because of their past, but he was amazed at how he weaseled himself out of so many situations in his past that he admires it. He said he put him in a situation where he can't weasel out of it this time around, and he looks forward to seeing Punk give him a beating. Hunter said Heyman might be able to get out of the situation, though, which would actually impress him. Which he gave a mazel tov for, but either way, Triple H wins. Hunter says that's what's best for business. Good stuff between those two.
Really, I mean, you can sense the sheer tension and complete chemistry between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. I like that they tied. This was the first time they've tied the CM Punk and Paul Heyman stuff into the corporate storyline, which is well done. Now then, Lindsay. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Where's Kane?
I believe he's in a burning bed.
Icarus was warned to never let his wings made of wax get too close to the sun. But pride can make even the most noble men do such foolish things. And as Icarus neared the sun, his wings began to melt away. Icarus fell into the ocean, was never heard from again. Where's Kane? I warned Kane. I told him that this fire he thinks is his friend, his beginning, it would ultimately be his ending. And when Kane allowed his pride to cloud his common sense, well, that's when I knew that he was mine. Like a lamb led to slaughter. Oh, where has my monster gone? Oh, where could he? Kane made his bet. And now, he's burning in it. Where's Kane?
Where's Kane?
This was so fantastic. Him singing, aware, has my monster gone? Aware, can he be?
Mm-hmm.
Genius!
Apparently, Matt Goldberg saw Kane at the gas station.
Did he still have hair?
That was an awesome promo.
That was a fantastic promo.
Jerry Lawler described Bray Wyatt as the Minister of Sinister.
Yeah, there's only one Sinister Minister.
Mm-hmm. And that's Jim Mitchell.
That's Jim Mitchell.
But yeah, great stuff. You finally got some answer.
Got a answer, yes. He's in his bed and he's burning in it.
So what does that lead to next? We shall find out, I suppose.
We shall.
Up next, Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton.
And a hell of a match.
Hell of a match these two put on. There was a lot of back and forth. It was a fantastic showing by Cody Rhodes. You saw the crowd really get into it. The announcers were getting behind Cody. They showed all the wrestlers looking on at the monitor behind Cody Rhodes. There was a spot in this match where Randy Orton did a moonsault, the moonsault off the top rope with Randy Orton standing. I thought that would have been a perfect way to set up an RKO if done properly. Just have him come down and Randy Orton drop him for the RKO. That would have been awesome.
It would have been, but I don't think they thought about it, honestly.
Yeah, I know. But now that they heard it on here... Anyway, Cody Rhodes goes for a disaster kick a second time. Orton ducked. Kicked him in the knee. RKO. 1, 2, 3.
So Cody Rhodes loses.
Apparently,
just days before his wedding.
Days before his wedding, he loses. Gets a stand, you know, a big standing ovation from the crowd. The announcers were somber. His career might be over. Out walked Triple H. He asked the crowd to give it up for Cody Rhodes. He said he has to admit that Rhodes went all in this match and fought like his life was on the line. He goes, man, you fought with heart. He said he respects Cody Rhodes from the bottom of his heart, but this is business. And in business, he needs winners. Which is why he can't let his personal feelings cloud his judgment. So, Cody, with deep regret, I have to tell you that you're fired. Boy, they sucked you in on that one.
Oh, they totally did.
Cody sold it like a champ. He was sad. He toppled slowly away. Yeah, fantastic.
Great promo. Great moment. I mean, you're sitting there and you're watching it and you're going, oh my god, are they really going to do it? Are they really going to? Yes. Yes, they really are.
So,
and a star was born tonight.
Well, he was born, but then he was fired. So we'll see what happens next for one Cody Rhodes. So we come back from break. Recap what happened, and then out came CM Punk with a kendo stick.
His limp stick.
With his very limp stick. Oh yeah, earmuffs. Anyway.
Sorry, Matt. We're not used to you being here on Monday night.
As I pointed out on Twitter, with his new accessory available with his new action figure, thanks to Wrestling Figure Weekly for giving me the info about that. Anyway, CM Punk is in the ring. He said he's done talking, doesn't want to wrestle tonight. He wants to fight, and he wants to fight Paul Heyman. Punk said that he would even fight Curtis Axel again to get to Heyman, but they won't show up right now, and that's okay because he gets them in 13 days. Punk said it's going to be a biblical ass-beating at Night of Champions. Punk directed the next portion of the speech to the fans in the front row, the cheap seats, and everyone at home his friends, his family in Chicago, the people who bought his t-shirt, the kids who made signs supporting him. Fans chanting for CM Punk. CM Punk says in 13 days he guarantees getting past Curtis Axel, and that he guarantees he's going to get his hands on Paul Heyman. Punk said, if you are Night of Champions on pay-per-view, you will see a side of Punk you've never seen before. It might not be a side you like, but there's a lot of people who out there are going to be very uncomfortable what he does to Paul Heyman at Night of Champions. Punk said that last week Heyman broke his heart at Night of Champions. I am going to break his face. I promise.
Great stuff by Punk.
Well done. He said in the beginning of the promo that he never promises anything, so when he promises something, he means it.
By the way, is it wrong that all I could think about while he was talking was the WrestleMania stuff where, you know, Punk and Heyman stole the urn and were taunting to the Undertaker with it, and it's like, wow, karma sucks.
I can see why he went there. Yeah, so good promo by Punk. So it means that coming up at Night of Champions, he's going to get his hands on Paul Heyman, and probably the next night on Raw, Paul Heyman's going to be wearing some sort of protective mask.
Probably yes. If we even see Paul Heyman.
If we even see Paul, I mean, that is correct. Daniel Bryan's warming up backstage some more. Apparently he needs a lot of warm-up. Big Show walked in and said, yes, doesn't want any part of this fight tonight, but he's under pressure. Bryan said he doesn't care, and as he does what he has to do, no matter what, the obstacles are thrown in his way. Show was hyperventilating a little bit as he discussed what happened to Cody Rhodes earlier, noting this is getting real around here. So Show said it's a no-win situation tonight, which Bryan agreed with. And then Bryan vowed to beat Show tonight like he did when he won his first World Heavyweight title.
Yeah, you're seeing Daniel Bryan game on face right here. It doesn't matter if they're a friend or an enemy. Everyone isn't. If you're in his way, you're a problem.
Right. Up next, Natalya versus Brie Bella versus Naomi. AJ Lee was on commentary. She was talking about how she was doing things right, what's best for business last week with her promo. So Naomi hits her big butt bump onto Brie, who was being held up by Natty. And then she went to pin Natty. AJ interfered, attacking Naomi. Then all the Total Divas jumped in and started beating down AJ. It was a 5-on-1 attack, I believe, on AJ, leaving her laying. So there was no number one contender named at this point.
No, there was not. So the question is, well, who's the number one contender?
That is a question, and if you had the app, you found out, but we'll get to that in a minute. But this segment was fine. It moved things along.
It did. It helped set up the match for Night of Champions, which is what you want.
Speaking of matches, Rob Van Dam, the number one contender with Ricardo Rodriguez, took on the intellectual savior of the masses, Damian Sandow. Fine match.
Yeah, it was a good match. I felt that, you know, Sandow's handcuff to the briefcase is a little superfluous now, but whatever.
Hey, anyone can steal it, not just Cody.
Yeah, but Cody's the only one that, you know, has reason to, or had reason to.
This is true. RVD wins. Del Rio was watching on from the stage. Fine match. Nothing special. It was fine.
Yeah, it helped move everything along, so.
So now if you had the app, Stephanie McMahon told the ladies that we have Fatal 4-Way at Night of Champions, Natalya versus Brie Bella versus Naomi for the Divas title. Fine. It's what you expect.
It's what you expect, but it's almost a guarantee that AJ is not going to keep the title at Night of Champions, which is a fail.
It is, but we'll see how it plays out. We are then in the parking lot where Josh Matthews just so happens to catch up with Cody Rhodes.
Excuse me, Cody?
What?
Cody, obviously a very emotional night for you. Do you have any parting words for the WWE Universe?
For parting word? Yeah, sure. Randy Orton beat me fair and square. That's what happened. He was the better man. I lost. That happens. It was that damn stipulation. If I lose, fired? My job, my dream? I shouldn't be surprised, because for over two decades, the McMahons have hated the Rhodes. My dad set Florida on fire. He was a Hall of Famer. He shows up here, they put him in polka dots, and they make him dance. My brother was a second-generation stud, the natural, and I loved him. And they put him in gold paint, and he has never been the same. And me, I have a wife to provide for now, Josh.
Cody, you mentioned your wife. You're getting married soon. Have you spoken to your fiancée? Do you have anything that you want to say to her now as she's watching Monday Night Raw?
And Cody walks out the door.
Again, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I love the references to his dad, to his brother. It was a nice acknowledgement.
It was. It really, truly was. So, the roster is being brought out, stand on the stage, to watch our main event, Big Show versus Daniel Bryan. Big Show beat on Daniel Bryan for a while and basically saying, I don't want to hurt you, it's not my idea, they're making me do this, I don't want to do this, just give up, stay down. Big Show not wanting to hurt Daniel Bryan in this matchup.
But Bryan was having none of it.
He kept fighting. He fought back multiple times throughout this entire match. Big Show had him down, was ready to go for the punch, and then thought twice about it, and started to, well, leave the ring. So out comes Triple H and the Shield.
Show, get back in that ring and finish it. Did you hear what I said? Get back in that ring and finish it.
Shield. And Big Show!
Hey! Don't make me do this. Think about your family. Do what's right for you. Big Show, back up. Step back. Do not make me do this. Paul, you know I don't want to do this. Turn around and look at me. Turn around! Let me tell you what you're going to do now. You're going to ball up that big fist right here. You're going to ball up real tight. And you're going to do what I tell you for your family. Show. Ball it up real tight and knock Daniel Bryan out.
Thank you.
Stephanie forces Big Show back into the ring. Talk about his family. He goes to hit Hunter. Steph gets in the way. Then crying. He cries, out came Randy Orton, and he stood over Daniel Bryan to close out Monday Night Raw.
This did a wonderful job of setting the McMahons and Orton and the Shield up as really the obviously the ultimate heels in the situation, but that they are just completely dominant, and it's showing that even the most powerful players in the company don't stand a chance against them. They will find a way to take you down. I mean, think about it. You think about, like, for example, Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. And the power that Paul Heyman wields and possesses, but even he has to, you know, take it from Hunter and Steph.
Mm-hmm.
So it begs that question I asked it to you in our chat of ultimately who has that kind of clout and really has nothing to lose to stand up to Hunter and Steph.
There's only really one name and he's on their side. So
right
now there's nobody.
So it's going to be interesting to see as far as the storyline goes and as it progresses, whether somebody within the corporation turns or whether we see sort of the superstars either find a challenger to Hunter and Steph, or if somebody within the superstars rises against them, you know, other than Daniel Bryan. And it might be something of, we can get in more to this Thursday, but maybe we see the likes of Cody and Brian and Sho and the people, everybody within the company start to band together against them.
That's the only way you can take down a force is if you band together.
Right.
Another really good edition of Monday Night Raw. They're telling a storyline for people who like storytelling that doesn't want an end result in 2 weeks.
Right, this is a long-term setup. They're probably going to end up going to Mania with the whole story. But this is a wonderful way of they're just really setting up this dominant, and they're making you ask that question, well, who could possibly take them down? You know, how much can Daniel Bryan take? Where is his breaking point? Because he's getting beat down week after week after week, and at some point, eventually, you give up. You stop fighting because you don't see the point in it. Everybody does that.
Right.
So we'll have to see where is Daniel Bryan's breaking point.
Right, and it's not going to happen next week or the week after. It's going to be a slow burn for this whole storyline. It's a slow burn.
Which I don't mind in the least.
Me neither. So there you have it. That's 3 hours of Monday Night Raw, Lindsay.
Sorry, Bray Wyatt's on my TV. What?
Thursday, the show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Talk about it.
Oh yeah, we do this little show. It's called The Rack. You know, Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, where we'll be talking all about the news and notes of the week, this week's Impact, discussions, all sorts of fun stuff. So tune in Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right after Impact.
And then on Friday as well, check out the Rack Extra. We'll cover Total Divas Episode 6, the full entire review from start to finish. It's the Total Divas Extra podcast, exclusively on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio. Myself, Rob Park, Subway, and Ace is the weird, the wacky, the unusual, and people call it drunk, which is amazing when that happens.
It's hilarious.
Sunday night, WTR, Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. A new great debate has started. The most memorable debut of all time. The debate has begun. Who will it be? We'll find out in a while. But tune in Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern for that. Plus, Pick'em starts next Sunday for Night of Champions. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of Rob Park Show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Be a part of the Facebook, the fantasy, WTR Fantasy Football Pick'em. Email me at media@wildtalkradio.com and we'll get you involved into the game. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Join the Facebook group at facebook.com/WildTalkRadio, group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, WTRProductions.net. Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Go to CastyRiley.net for all your Casty Riley needs. And, of course, visit the Rack and all our fine sponsors.
There you go. Check out PWMedia.com, MemlinePromo.com. We'll see you next Monday night for another edition of Raw Post Show Live right here across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network on WildTalkRadio.com. But I'll make you go away. Let everybody see this picture here of me. Just watch the wheel go round. I'm serious, you go down. You're only smoke and mirrors.